Procrastination. We all do it. How can we overcome it? What are the triggers that cause us to do it? And how can we see those in advance so we can stop doing it? This is week two of the procrastination series. This week we will dig deeper into the triggers that cause us to procrastinate, and we'll look at practical ways to beat it starting now. This is your Best Life Ever podcast, episode 4, Procrastination. How can I beat this? Welcome to your Best Life Ever podcast. I am your host, Justin Thomas, and this is the podcast that is committed to helping you dominate this life, to help you get from wherever you are to where you want to be. My goal is to help you get breakthrough, learn new skills, and create lifelong habits that'll help you live your best life ever.
Let's make it right. It's time to let go. You just gotta say so.
We are back for week two of this procrastination series. This week, we are really digging deeper on overcoming procrastination. How can we beat it? Last week, we went through a lot of practical ways, and we're going to continue to go through those, but we're going to go deeper into those on the specific part of overcoming it. This habit can be beat by just being proactive. There's really six actions that you can do that will help you tremendously. The first one is confessing that you procrastinate. Just admit it. I think that we're afraid to, a lot of us are. Openly admit that you do it. Again, like we said last week, not that you're a procrastinator. You just have the habit of it. Don't write that that's what you are. Just admit that's what you do. So that's the first part. Second one is identify your triggers. We all have little triggers or things that happen that spur us to procrastinate that we either are consciously or unconsciously aware of. So you have to be honest to yourself on how you do it. And then once you're honest and you've identified it, write it down. And when you write it down, put it in like on a post-it or whatever is going to be there. So when you're naturally in a procrastination mode that you can look up and see it. Maybe it's a motivation of your family or whatever motivates you, or actually just writing down the phrase that you need to know or remember is really key. So you can look up and just kind of be reminded to keep going. That's really big for me. I have, my family is my motivator, so I put pictures of them everywhere I go. So I can constantly be looking at it. And that just inspires you to be, you know, motivated. So the third one would be to outline what you want. Ask yourself, what would I like to achieve? Why is this important to me? Get really clear about what it is you want and the reasons why you want those things. And then the fourth one, you can gain leverage. Once you've done those, you can gain leverage by using your pain or pleasure to gain the leverage you need. And then it inspires you. And then you become proactive and you just take action. You just do it instinctively. Ask yourself what you're going to gain by taking proactive action. What will I miss out on if I procrastinate right now? Because if you think about it, whatever you enjoy, no one has to make you do that. Like, I love watching sports. No one has to make me, it's going to sit down and watch this game right now because I enjoy it. So if that's the case, then we have to be able, in the things that don't naturally motivate us, to be able to have ways to keep us going so we can persevere. Because we all just want to do the fun things. It's like with my insurance business I have, I don't like doing the paperwork. But I have to find ways to make sure that I do that. Otherwise, things don't get done. I like interacting with people, engaging, doing all those things. But we have to be able to do all the things that are needed, not just the fun ones. Then fifth part, develop a plan of action. Once you've developed a plan, after you've done all the kind of the inventory part that we talked about in week one, and you outline how you're going to do it, then you know when you're going to get going, when you're going to get started, how you're going to do it. It's pretty simple. And like I said, if you don't know how to do it forward, picture it like it's achieved, like you did it, and then reverse engineer it. Because then you'll find out sometimes that there's a lot of little mini tasks that you think need to be done. And when you work it back the other way, you realize that those are just actions. They're just tasks. They're not things that need to be done. Sixth part is taking action. But when you do it, be strategic. So I said develop the plan of action. But if you just do that and you don't take action, which is the sixth part, nothing will happen. You just procrastinated by planning and doing. So focus intensively on working in, 25, 30 minute bursts several times per day until you establish that new habit. I think for, there's some people say, hey, put 2-3 hour chunks and focus. I prefer that, but I feel like when you're trying to beat a procrastination habit, 25 minutes is a good time set to just say, okay, I only have to do this for 25 minutes and set a timer. And then when it's done, you see it as a reward. You did those actions that you don't like. If I said, hey, I've got to go, put bamboo shoots under my fingernails for 3 hours, I'm not going to do it. But if I have to do it, I can do it for 25 minutes and endure it. And then eventually you realize it's not that bad. Bamboo shoots is a terrible analogy. It was just all I could think of. So that was it. Show's over. No, I'm just joking. But those really are, those six things would really help you. If that's all it is, was you got 5 minutes into this episode and those 6 points were all you came away with, that's big. And those are some of the hows, right? So now we've got that out of the way. I want to go deeper in explaining those triggers, the triggers that send you and kind of spiral out of control or whatever. And so then we can implement change at that point so we don't procrastinate. But before we do that, let's hear from one of our sponsors. You know what I hate about procrastination? Is that it robs you, me, of our opportunity to achieve our goals. You know, there's so many people that try to overcome a debilitating habit and nothing seems to work. They make progress one day and then they fall back into the same patterns. We all do it. I do it all the time. And then if you go do that and it goes back into it the very next day, then you're caught up in this perpetual cycle and it sabotages all your progress. What is that? Why do so many people tend to struggle with procrastination while others have no problems with it at all? Is there even an answer to this question? Remember, in the last episode, I said procrastination is the act of prioritizing less urgent tasks and more pleasurable tasks and over the more important stuff. That was terrible. I'm going to say it one more again. Procrastination is the act of prioritizing less urgent and more pleasurable tasks over the more important stuff. There we go. Second time's the charm. We're not editing. Well, maybe editing, me saying editing. But anyway, getting focus. So when we start procrastinating, it grows from an inability because we can't prioritize effectively. And then this failure stems from something else, a fear of doing something that we don't want to do that's painful, unreasonable expectations, or simply because we haven't generated enough reasons to get the job done. So what are some of those reasons we get caught up in procrastinating? Because every action, there's a cause, right? For every action, there's a reaction. A trigger sorts that instantly brings out a choice, a decision, an action that results in a variety of consequences, good or bad. For many of us, we have to have triggers so we can recognize and manage and don't get caught up in procrastination. Some people recognize these triggers as a cause of their procrastination. Some of them identify them to stop. So when they see a trend, they've spent enough time thinking about it, then they stop immediately. Like for my son, he is so determined to get a 4.0 in high school that when we're sitting there watching TV, he'll pop right up and go, I got to go do homework. He's subconsciously deep down ingrained it in himself that he has to do it. He knows that if he doesn't do his homework, he won't get a 4.0. And the story he's written of getting that won't happen. So he pops up and gets his work done and gives up doing TV or movie time or whatever we're doing because he's got to hit his goal. And he's like, I got to get up early because I got a big class. He doesn't like schoolwork any more than you and I do, but he knows that he wants his goal and it's bigger than the pain that he'll feel for doing it. So those are big things, right? When we can recognize, it gives us power. Then when we have power, we can change. We can take steps that free ourselves from this cycle. So in the previous episode, I touched on the triggers. Let's go over them. Those are fear-driven, procrastination, action, habit-driven, feeling-driven, lack of, like don't have, lack of. So just think about what you're afraid of. And then we can break down these specific fears and you can see how what you just thought of relates, okay? So there's 5 specific fears and they all relate back to the habit of procrastination, okay? So that's where these tie into. And the reason we start off with fear is because it's mostly fear. So there's the fear of success, which is silly, but we don't know how to operate in it. Anyway, I'll get to that later. Fear of failure, fear of conflict, fear of judgment, fear of the unknown. So procrastination is a fear of success, right? I'm not going to do this because I'm afraid of blank. When you fear success, you tend to place obstacles or roadblocks in your way. You do this to yourself. You do this because you're afraid of possible changes that could possibly take place, and you don't even know what they are, but you want the outcome. The fear of success often leads to us being unproductive and bad behaviors. We would rather keep ourselves busy with the trivial things and activities. We indulge in those because we're afraid of making progress. But on the other hand, our fear of failure manifests itself when we indulge in the first one, which is perfectionism, or we succumb to those emotions. And then those emotions send us down in a spiral that transcends us deeper into our habit of procrastination. And then we feel inadequate. We struggle because we're afraid we won't live up to the expectations that people have set for us or we've set for ourselves. And then we become hesitant or cautious, and then it manifests itself as perfectionism because you spend more time planning and writing it out and doing those things than the activities that are actually needed to make things happen. And then we give in to the struggle and deal with the next part, which is fear of conflict, because then we've avoided those, and then the people or customers or whatever are mad, and we're afraid because we feel bad on the first two that we let them down. So then we have this fear of conflict. It's like a crazy spiral. In other words, we fear the possible conflict that could arise from our actions. And then this conflict, you know, could be, I don't know, it could be with other people, it could be inside us, but those fears is basically, which is the next one actually, fear of the fear of judgment. You procrastinate, you worry that other people will think something bad of you or your behavior, but then you lie and say, oh, I don't care. Well, you do care, because there's got to be someone that you care about what they think. If you catch yourself thinking more about what others think of you, though, than focusing on the task at hand, I know I'm talking on both sides of my mouth, but there's a balance in there. You got to figure that out. Then you're at that moment where you're indulging in neither fear of judgment or fear of the unknown. I keep doing that, going to the next one. That fear of the unknown is number 5 of those. It's connected to our above fears that I just listed. When we have those fears in common, it all comes from the unknown, uncertainty. And that uncertainty tends to hold us back from taking the steps that we need to accomplish our goals. And then we suffer because we have a fear of the unknown, and we tend to be indecisive and not sure what to do next. And then we typically go to all these extra lengths to either distract ourselves from doing the uncertain stuff that would move us and our goals forward, or focus on the little things that don't really matter, that give us some type of certainty and control. And then we're no longer aligned with our long-term goals and objective. It's crazy. And then we're astray. It doesn't help us in the long run. And then we're focusing on small, irrelevant stuff. And it becomes a sign of procrastination, not progress. I don't know if you guys can tell that I've done this before. I deal with this all the time. I've really battled this for years, just being transparent. It's, you know, it's hard. You know, I have a tendency to be a people pleaser. And so that really gets me when I do that. And so, you know, I think I have to go through that, and you have to write in the truth of who you are, you know, and so you can get action, because those action-driven procrastination triggers, they drive you. It can be good or bad. I always say you can use a brick to throw it through a window or build a house, right? So you can use this as an action-driven procrastination trigger of perfectionism, over-planning, overworking, because perfectionism is indulging in those irrelevant tasks. I always have a problem with that word. And activities that don't add any value to your goal, right? If they're inconsequential and you don't matter to you at all, then perfectionism becomes a disease of your mind, similar to like someone suffering from anorexia would see themselves in a mirror. And when a person struggles with anorexia, which is a horrible thing that no one should have to deal with, but they look at themselves in the mirror and see themselves overweight, obese, they see an obese person staring back at them no matter what anybody says to them. And then they starve themselves in an attempt to lose a few extra pounds from what they see as a bulging waistline. We do the same thing. But it's just an illusion. It's a trick that our minds play on us. At the same time, we have to not allow that to happen when it comes to quote unquote our version of perfectionism. When a person's indulging in perfectionism, it's because they're not quite satisfied. It's never good enough to reach that stage, or they just don't want to do that pain. And so I'd rather, you know, keep moving papers around on my desk instead of actually like going through them one by one and throwing away the ones you're not going to use and actually, you know, mailing out what needs to be mailed and actually doing it. I'd rather just move it around and look busy, or organize them and look perfect. Oh, we need to rewrite this. No, you don't. You just need to do it, right? You end up doing the same activity over and over and over and over again. You don't realize that you're actually, perfection's in the eye of the beholder. It can be helpful to keep that in mind and to remember that 20% of our activities produce 80% of the results. So if our goal is to generate maximum results with the least amount of work, we need to do 20% of the things that do 80% of the work. It's the most true thing. They say that 20% of the population has 80% of the wealth. Same with our goals. 20% of the actions create 80% of the results. And over-planning is not one of those activities. I promise you. When we overwork ourselves, we deplete our resources. And then we deplete our energy. And then a continual withdrawal leads to stagnation. And then we're simply unable to unleash our motivation. We're unable to be our person. We're unable to pursue our goals. We're unable to pursue our objectives. The key, of course, is to schedule regular periods of downtime throughout the day to give you time to reflect, to give you time to do the things that you want to do, so you're not lying to yourself and saying, I deserve this. Have you been thinking about life insurance but don't have any idea where to start or who you can trust? Maybe you already have life insurance and you would love someone to do a comparison, or don't think it's enough in case something bad happens to you or your family. Or do you think that you have health issues and can't get approved? You should call the professionals at Pioneer Insurance Group. Pioneer Insurance Group specializes in life insurance and retirement. They do it all. They rate for all the top carriers and have the lowest prices in the industry. They don't just sell products you can touch or feel. They're selling a promise. A promise that says your family is their family. Pioneer Insurance Group First, make sure you have the proper amount of life insurance. Second, they explain it to you in ways that you can understand and walk you ways so you can figure out how it will protect you and your family when you need it to the most. They also have living benefits that can give you up to 90% of the life insurance while you're still alive if you have a critical, chronic, or terminal illness. They can even get you approved up to $1 million without a medical exam anywhere in the U.S. Check them out on the web at www.pioneerinsurancegroup.com. You can also get a no-hassle, free quote. No one will contact you. You can even put in your information and do a needs calculator on their calculator to find out how much you need. Give them a call at 971-255-7320. Again, that's 971-255-7320. Or email them at info@pioneerinsurancegroup.com. So what are some of the habit-driven procrastination triggers? I know our procrastination can also come from habits of behavior that go unnoticed. We fail to recognize some of them because our patterns are deeply ingrained in our psyche. They're self-sabotaging habits and they lead to uncontrollable spirals. And then we procrastinate and they become hard to recognize. And we don't recognize them because they're so deep into our psyche that we just don't ever go that far in our life. So we have to look at the impossible expectations that we either have on ourselves or want to do, or our guilt-driven self-talk, or our criticism of ourselves, or low self-esteem. Those are really big to seeing your ritual habits. Then you go into the feeling-driven procrastination triggers, because whenever we try to tackle more than we can handle, we become overwhelmed. I am the king of this. I want to do everything all the time. This emotion takes hold, and then we remove ourselves from our tasks and objectives so we can see better how overwhelmed we are. And then we realize that we are being pulled away and we weren't doing the highest priority activities that each area needed. And so then we procrastinate everything and then we just bounce around doing the fun stuff and we just end up being a jack of all trades and a master of none. And we're inadequate. We are incapable of dealing with life. There's so many challenges life throws our way and we can't handle it. So then we just procrastinate and just spin around in circles. And then we don't get any progress to our goals. And then we get frustrated and then the frustration manifests itself. And then it's just a spiral. And then we kind of come to that state where it just leads to, depression's a bad word, but boredom or bound or restrained. It's just that spiral has restrictions is basically what my point is. So I just know that for me, when things are fun, things get done. Whoa, that's a phrase I'm going to remember that. When things are fun, things get done. Lack-driven procrastination triggers are really hard for a lot of people, including myself. It's like you get so focused on what you don't have or what you lack, whether it be traits or tools or income or employees or whatever, confidence. And then we don't define our goals or our objectives. When we lack our resources, we feel like we can't do anything, that we need those before we can do it. Tony Robbins says all the time is that resources aren't the issue. Because anybody in life who's handled adversity has been resourceful. He says that all the time. That resources are a lie, that the ability to be resourceful above that when there is no other option. I mean, think about it. If your kids or your spouse has, cancer or something that they can't figure out, you're going to do whatever it takes, even if you don't have the resources. So not getting just busy in busyness, but not using, oh, I don't have, as an excuse from pushing forward. Because then you become and get into the next one, which is being dissatisfied with life. That trigger is another spiral of our relationships, our careers. And then we forget our high priority activities that we need to do to be successful. And then we don't have any happiness or fulfillment, and we feel like we're letting the loved ones down. So then the final trigger is the child programming triggers. That trigger is big because procrastination also often involves, you know, the connection between our childhood, the experiences we had, things people said to us, maybe things that was placed on us that mentally or psychologically that we didn't even know existed. And then we just, you know, until we realize them, we won't ever know. And then, you know, if you can spark that proactive action from, you know, lies, things have told you. And I mean by proactive action, I mean like just saying ahead of time, hey, if this happens, I'm going to do this. Being proactive will trigger motivation. And then that leads to past the procrastination so we can drive forward. That's what I was trying to say. Having certain triggers that will spark you when you notice you're being unproductive and procrastinating to get out of it, because there's two types of motivation, right? There's intrinsic, which is like that state of like your, I don't know, enjoyment or kind of a deep down, you motivate yourself intrinsically through that personal belief of who you are, you know, that significant task or cause that you're a part of. And there's a goal setting process too, that will go through the SMART, having specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, intangible goals. By using that acronym, you can kind of break down your goal to make sure it really is your goal. And then the other type of motivation is that extrinsic motivation. What, I can't talk today. You become so motivated that way. What it does is it's the weaker of the two, and it needs some external validation, but it helps you dive past and look at other objects and people and environments in your world to help motivate you. And ultimately will connect you, like we said in the last week's episode, to help you find, you know, your human needs with Maslow's six human needs. Because our daily actions fulfill some of those. And the needs, again, just in case we don't remember, the need for certainty, uncertainty, connection, significance, growth, and contribution. And so when you're looking at the need for certainty, when we're unsure about our outcome, we naturally find motivation to persist and persevere, but we have to have some type of certainty. It's okay to be uncertain, as we'll touch in a second, but you do have to have clarification of your goals. It gives you that certainty. Then you can upgrade your weaknesses, your skills, or your resources. If not, you have to find a way to grab some certainty. Otherwise, it'll overwhelm you, and then you'll give in to procrastination. And so that you have to also satisfy that need for uncertainty, right? So when we're uncertain about our outcome, we have to contradict the first human need and instill a feeling of uncertainty that spices up the task or gives us ways to create excitement, which is crazy. So asking yourself, does this task or activity provide you with a sense of excitement or uncertainty? If not, find ways to infuse it in there. Maybe because otherwise you'll become bored, or you could succumb to procrastination that way. Then there's the need of connection. You have to have the intrinsic connection with our outcome, but connecting your outcome means finding your meaning and purpose in every action you take. When you instill the feeling of connection, you find your why. In other words, explore what you want to achieve in your outcomes, because then you, when you find your why, it, like my son earlier, like his why is at 4.0, he doesn't worry about the task. He just knows he needs to do the work, right? Then the next one's the need of significance. We all need to have significance, but it also needs to be built. When you are driving your purpose, your goal, your vision, your objective, it propels every part of you to move forward. In other words, you gotta have some pride. The bigger the objective and vision, the more significance it instills inside of you. Ask yourself, does this task provide me with a sense of significance? If not, find another way. Because then you can go to the next one, which is that need for growth. Got to ask the same questions. Does this activity provide me with growth? If not, how do I put it in there? Then you get to the last one, which is the need for contribution. We all need to contribute to this world. Contribute, that's a word. How about contribute? When we feel that our outcome leads to contribution, you're inspired. That's like when you're like a cause, or we have a friend that has a not-for-profit that helps with trafficking and getting people that are in traffic out of that world and change their life. That significance, that contribution, that extends past yourself. That's an undertaking that may be huge to some people, but to others, that because their significance of what they're contributing to and who they're helping, it provides them with a sense of fun. It provides them with a sense of freedom. It allows to change their world, and it gives them complete motivation. You've got to analyze the things that motivate you. Maybe it's like a time log for throughout your day. One of the things I do is when I'm in an analysis period, I will like use 15 minute blocks throughout the day. I'll just have like a timer, and then I'll just write down what I did for 15 minutes a day. And then after about a week goes by, you can see the trends of what you're doing. That really takes commitment, and don't do it all the time. But if you're trying to really find out where you're wasting time, it's a good one. Those 15 minute blocks, can help kick out some procrastination, and it actually will help you motivate yourself too. Because you're looking at that time log report, and it'll help you as you're thinking. You can set inspiring goals, that your goal setting process may change, or you may be able to ask yourself what you're trying to achieve. Because psychological studies have provenly shown that the human brain cannot tell the difference between something that's visualized and something that's physical. So taking a minute to close your eyes and visualize your outcome will help you plant seeds in your mind that you don't even know you're doing. So, maybe asking yourself, is this important right now? Do I even need this? Or I'm just tired. Is this too difficult? Does this take too long? Why do I keep saying I'll do it tomorrow? Because if you fall in that trap, then you're just going back into the pain and pleasure. The pain and pleasure principle will provide you ways so you can gain leverage and overcome procrastination. I'm giving a ton of info here, but it's so important to dig so deep. The psychology behind it is fascinating. I just love it. But we have to go deep to ask ourselves these tough questions, because before you take any action, you have to make sure that you have the tools, you have the skills, you have the support to get the job done. Otherwise, you're going to struggle. So take a moment, project yourself forward in a way to help yourself grow. Ask yourself what tools you'll need. Ask yourself what skills you need. Ask yourself what support you need. Sometimes it's as simple as just having an accountability partner that keeps you on track. Other times, all you may need is a sounding board. But find your motivation. Your actions are like a bowling ball. Without motivation, you will be unable to give it the force it needs to strike down those 10 pins. Right? And then then you can move forward to taking massive action. And when you take massive action, don't get caught up in planning every little detail. Take imperfect actions. Do it, break it down into small chunks. Focus on doing the hardest thing first. Brian Tracy says, "Eat the frog." That's his book. It's Eat the Frog. If the worst thing you had to do in a day was eat a big old bullfrog and then you got to take the day off, could you do it? Would you do it? And he's saying with your goals, get your big old nasty goal BHAG taken care of, your big hairy audacious goal done. And then once that's done, you can go, right? Getting this done in an imperfect way allows you to not procrastinate by planning. And then it can just be messy. And you won't interfere with the goal you're working on. And you're breaking it down into manageable chunks. You're having big and exciting, passionate goals. You're not getting focused on the wrong things. You're keeping your eyes on the prize. Getting started is always painful. Think about when you work out. You're so sore you can't walk down the stairs. No one can touch you because every part of your body hurts. But after a while, your muscles get big and it doesn't hurt anymore. And you love it. Okay? When you can do that, then it just naturally takes an anti-procrastination mindset. And, you know, sometimes people will look at what their version of an anti-procrastinator is. Like, what qualities would that person carry? If you were an anti-procrastinator, what would you do? Would you be enthusiastic? Because whenever you're enthusiastic, I've never seen someone who's excited about something who doesn't move forward on it. Would you be disciplined? Would you naturally be able to do those things? Would you be determined to fight through? Would you be responsible to take the actions that are needed when they're needed? Would you be optimistic if you failed? What are my why reasons for doing this is basically what you need to ask. Because there's the dog bouncing around again. And I'll land this plane here. Procrastination is and a dangerous habit that allures us away from our long-term goals. It robs us from our dreams. It robs us from our hopes and ambitions. It eats away at the heart of our passions, one chunk at a time. And procrastination is nothing more than an illusion. It lives off of how we perceive ourselves in the event of our circumstances, our lives, and it just eats away. It's kind of like cancer. If you eat a lot of sugar and you're battling cancer, the sugar feeds the cancer. So if you stop it, it'll help you beat it. I don't know if you didn't know that, but if you do, that's true. So breaking free of those things and not letting it live off of you, don't create illusions that don't need to be there. Create awareness, create understanding of how it works in you, because all we're starting on, I'm doing 3 weeks on procrastination, because we all do it, because we can't get to the goals. We can't get to all those things if we don't look at this so intense, so detailed, take notes. And then you get to the last part. The last remaining element is implementing your plan. Do what you need to do without any excuses. Turn your knowledge into proactive action and end procrastination for good. You can do it. I believe in you. Thanks for tuning in today. I know your time is valuable and you chose to spend it here with us. Please do not forget to subscribe and download these episodes if they serve you, because it does help us. You can find us on all the major platforms: iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, SoundCloud. Remember to go to justinlthomas.com. There you can email me, give me feedback on things you'd like to hear about. Find our show notes, coaching programs, downloads, everything you need to have your best life ever. See you next time. This is your moment. This is your time.